Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So let's pray for Michael. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this man of God, and we ask that you would use him. We thank you for his desire to love you and to know you in the deep places. We thank you, Lord, that he embraces the cross and that he has said yes to crucifixion and allowing you to have your way within his life. We thank you for the word that you've brought forth through him and the brother that he is. So bless him today, and may our hearts be open, our ears and our eyes, to receive what you have through your servant as he's been listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Well, I think very highly of Voice Ministry, Bob and Deanna, Denny and Evelyn. I haven't seen Dave yet today, but everybody here, the staff and those who've labored long and understand the extreme importance of sitting in his presence, keeping the one thing, the main thing. The worship was wonderful. Of course, Michael, I've known and loved for a long time, and he's always going to get us into the presence of God. And then Roy's word is very appropriate and very fitting for where we're going to go. Just if I don't say this now, then I'll get rebuked afterwards. Just to give you a little update on my kids. Arielle, for those who know, she's in Germany in college, but she's studying in German. Her textbooks are in German, which I told her, you're nuts. But that's what she's doing. She started in Italy and then went to Germany. And she actually, after the book, The Miracle Exchange, was edited, she was one of the final proofers in it. And she said, Dad, don't say this. And don't say this. So she helped. And then my son is in Florida, and he's becoming the expert on repairing iPads and all kinds of smartphones and that. He's got a crew, a staff of people. This business is growing by leaps and bounds each month. And then I got a granddaughter and a second one in the oven, and so life is good. Life is good. Life has been real good, and I'll throw a couple of shameless plugs in there now, because afterwards I want to be flowing with the Holy Spirit. Most of what I'll be talking about today and Tuesday can be found in greater detail in the Miracle Exchange, Living the Transformed Life. You know, this ministry beats with that message. You know, Deanna has written about it, and it's something that's talked about a lot. The beginnings of it started while I was here, and I was in the dark night of the soul time. This ministry, I was here at my darkest seasons of life is when I was actually here in this ministry, as the Lord was working that. And then I knew I needed to get away and spend a lot of solitude and learning how to articulate what he has done in me in the experiences has been interesting and challenging. So that book will be available, and they're both of them are $15 books, but we're discounting it 33%. So, but wait, there's more. I just wanted to say that, you know, the America's Battle for Free Enterprise. We want to discount that 75%. So if you get both of the books, they're $15. So you can get one book for $10 or both books for $15. But it was an offshoot of writing The Miracle Exchange, and my publisher talked to me about it. That the long and short of it is, I would get frustrated, and I would pray, and I'd say, Lord, Christians have got to understand more about the economic situation in our country. We've got to understand how to articulate what needs to happen. There's many people that are on the fence, and they don't know, and if we can articulate it. So, and people don't remember what Ronald Reagan did. We were in the pits as far economically in 1980. We didn't know which way to go, and he provided strong leadership. And I talk about that. I compared the last 4 years to the first 4 years from 80 to 84, and so that you can learn how to articulate. Talk about education. Did you know that we're, out of 33 nations tested, we're last place in math, 23rd in science, and 17th in reading? So there's things about education that we need to understand beyond just the social issues that are dear to us, be it abortion or whatever. So that's why I want to get that in the hands of as many God's people before the midterm elections, you know, read that book and be able to articulate things. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 12. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus specifically introduced a topic that then Paul went into great detail about. And that is, I'm calling it the miracle exchange. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Who is crucified? There are two I's in Galatians 2:20. One lives and one dies. Who's the one that dies? Do you know who it is? Can you recognize it? If you don't recognize the characteristics of the person that is supposed to die, then it's going to be very difficult for you to put that person on the altar. And then, of course, understanding the person, the I that lives. But Jesus introduces it here in John chapter 26, verse 24, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." A wheat seed. Now, a wheat seed is a ripened plant, oval, containing an embryo. It's a source of beginning. It's a small amount of material used to start a chemical reaction. And Jesus is saying here, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. Now, who's the grain of wheat? It would be you, correct? In his exchange here, he's talking about you. So the question you have to ask yourself, do you want to remain a grain of wheat? Do you want to remain a oval-shaped wheat seed? Or would you rather become the results of an oval-shaped wheat seed? Would you like to be a stalk of wheat? A stalk of wheat that can make children happy at breakfast time as they pour their bowl of cereal? Would you like to be a loaf of bread as opposed to an oval-shaped wheat seed? How about a cracker? Would you like to be a cracker for Jesus? I want to be a cracker for Jesus. I don't want to be an oval-shaped wheat seed. Now, I spent most of my early ministry as an oval-shaped wheat seed. I liked being in my protected little environment with, you know, I had boundaries there. I could manage things. The idea of me letting go of the people in my life and letting God fix them, well, that's a little bit irresponsible. Shouldn't that be my role as a leader? The whole idea of being able to lift up my eyes and see the abundance that God had out there, I was missing so much by trying to keep things controlled instead of letting it go. So the questions you want to ask yourself is, do I want to remain an oval-shaped wheat seed, or do I want to go beyond those boundaries? Letting God fix people around me was actually the way he was inviting me to go. I didn't mean to, but I was trying to impress God with my performance as opposed to resting and being secure in his ability to perform. I didn't mean to, but I thought God letting God live his life through me would somehow take away from my unique individuality as God. Didn't dawn on me. Didn't mean to. I was just busy about doing the ministry. I'm one of these types of guys to say, "Lord, the other people may spend time just reflecting on you, but you can depend on me. I'll be out there in the marketplace leading people to Jesus." Well, it's a good thing to lead people to Jesus, but I would have done it even more effectively had I more valued this whole idea of getting in the dirt. Now, let me explain. Where does an oval-shaped wheat seed go in order for it to... It goes in the dirt, doesn't it? So I'm here to announce not to be afraid to get into the dirt of that which has been a barrier, the sins, the mistakes, the things that God has used to bring you to the end of yourself, Don't be afraid to spend some time in the dirt, because it's in the dirt that things get broken down and you're able to start growing and getting beyond yourself so that you can be multiplied and become a cracker for Jesus. Now, I didn't have a clue about what this verse was actually saying. The idea that getting in that, not being afraid to get in the dirt, because, you know, everybody else knows about your dirt anyway. So you might as well get in the dirt and talk to Jesus about it fully, fully just lay it out. But I didn't really have a clue what it meant. I was a little bit like the guy. Him and his wife fought all the time. And finally, some of their friends decided, well, we're going to take up a, you know, get some money together and send him to marriage counseling, which they did. But then when they got to the marriage counseling, they fought the whole time in front of the marriage counselor. And finally, the guy got tired of it. And he leaned over, the counselor, he leaned over and kissed the wife on the cheek and told the guy, she needs this 3 times a week. And he looked down at the floor and thought for a few minutes and looked up. He said, okay, I'll bring her in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He didn't have a clue, really, what the guy was saying. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't really understand this whole concept. In order to multiply, I needed to get... I didn't even realize what it was talking about. I love the verses. It's amazing. I love Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And then in Colossians, I am dead, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. And then the next verse, Christ, who is my life. Have you ever thought about that? That's it, something that's missed sometimes. But Colossians 3:4, Christ, who is my life. Think about that for just a minute. Who created you? He knows your uniqueness, your individuality, your giftedness, all that is inside of you. He knows that better than you. You didn't create yourself. He created you. Who better to bring out the uniqueness of who you are than saying, Jesus, live your life through me? As you think about all of these things, you have to be willing to die. And the part that dies is the part that's very selfish, it's very proud, it's very scared. There's a lot of inferiority, there's a lot of insecurity, there's a lot of inadequacy. All of this is involved in this person that God is inviting to die. And the part of the word that I have for you this morning, I was a little bit surprised because I'm learning how to take the miracle exchange and bring it into people's lives where they're at. And do you know that finances, I don't know about you, but as the head of a house, that was one of the things that I was concerned about a lot. And when I talk to God's people, it's one of the number one, it really is the number one prayer request, is something revolving around people's needs being met. There's always a bill that has to be paid, a doctor's bill, or they're wanting to be prayed for a job or a better job or something to do with finances. Well, there's a miracle exchange where God would have you to die to your current attitude about money and how you see it and allow him and to think through you and to generate that which is his abundance through your life. Now, as you think about that, the word is full of that whole idea. And when I first began to see this, I didn't realize, and he began to show me the silver and the gold belongs to me in Haggai 2. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to me. The world and the fullness thereof belongs to me. And Michael, you are a joint heir with me. Now here's the choice. Do I want to remain me, or do I want to let Jesus live his life through me? And the silver and the gold belongs to him. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. And I'm thinking, well, I want you. I want who you are. But is it going to help me to pay the next bill as it comes due? I mean, I understand that you have the silver and the gold, but there's this thing called the reality that I'm facing right in front of me. Now, how's that going to work? And then I began to understand some things about, of course, faith itself. You know, it's football season now, and we were talking there before the game. Is Robert still a linebacker? Is that his? Okay. Now, when I see these pictures and that on Facebook and that, Robert's a pretty big boy. He's got a lot of muscles. And that stuff you can see, those are real things. If I were to have Robert up here today, we were to take all of the empty space out of Robert's body, he would be a speck of dust on the floor. There's a lot. Now, that's a scientific fact. Your body is made up of more empty space. Did you know that there's more power between your finger and your nose? If you were to hold your finger up there, like looking at your finger, there's more power between your finger and your nose than in all the material stuff in the world. I like to think of it this way. If I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God is like all that empty space. There's a lot more of that. That abundance is beyond anything that you can imagine. In fact, that's a whole nother message. What does it mean when it says there at the end of that beautiful apostolic prayer that we pray in Ephesians 3, to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think? There's a whole bunch about it. Now, let's look at the illustrations that Jesus uses about finances. Let's think about it for a minute. What are some of the stuff he does? It was one time in John 6, I believe it was, Philip was all concerned because everybody was getting hungry. Jesus had preached a wonderful sermon, and how are we going to feed this multitude? And Philip was stressing about it. And then Andrew thought he was probably being funny. Well, there's a kid here with three barley loaves and two small fish. And Jesus says, well, have the men sit down over there in this grassy area. And but by the way, with the kid with the lunch, can you see it at home that morning? You know, his mom said, "You get in the kitchen and pack a lunch. I'm not going to have you tugging on me and bothering me when Jesus is in the middle of his sermon because you're hungry." So this little kid packs a lunch. Thank God he packed that lunch. Thanks, he had a good mother that told him to go pack that lunch. So here he is, and Jesus has the men sit down. I guess he just, that's what it says in the scriptures. The men sat down. I guess he had the women sat in their laps. He probably didn't want to get their tunics grass stained, so they probably sat in the men's laps. We know there were kids there, so there were many more than 5,000 people. Jesus took five barley loaves and a couple of fish, offered up thanks to God, and fed probably 15, 20,000 people with five barley loaves and two fish. Now, this is the God that some of us are hesitant about allowing me to be crucified so that Jesus can fully live his life through me, and then I get his mind. I have the mind of Christ where he can, the Bible says Jesus has made unto you wisdom. Jesus gets to think through you. Jesus gets to feel through you. Jesus gets to speak through you. And your faith is now his faith through you. Though those stories are in the scripture to encourage us. Think about when it was tax time. What did he do? In Matthew 17, he sends Peter fishing. He says, go fishing. The first fish you catch, bring him in, open up his mouth, take the coin out, and go pay my tax and your tax. Now, I see these Facebook pictures of Bob and Robert's fishing exploits. How many have seen those? All right, now, I see the big fish. They're holding some pretty nice looking fish. I got to acknowledge that. But I don't see any pictures of Bob holding up the big fish and Robert holding up a 1933 double gold eagle coin, which sold in the marketplace in 2002 for what, $7 million or something crazy like that. In fact, we would have heard about it on Facebook if he'd have opened up that fish and opened up the mouth. There'd have been a nickel inside. We'd have heard it from Bob. Isn't that right? You bet. I mean, now those stories, are they just in Scripture just because Jesus wanted to impress us? You know, everything that Jesus did, he did as a result of the Holy Spirit operating through him. He says, I can do nothing unless the Father does it through me. Everything he did was about modeling that we say, I can do nothing but that Jesus does it through me. John 15 says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Much fruit sounds like a seed multiplying into an abundant harvest. This is the most positive message in the world, is being crucified with Christ. The cross is the most positive thing in the world that you can actually go to the cross, be nailed on the cross with Jesus, and all the old insecurity and the old junk dies. All the negativity that you've ever thought can die completely. And then all of a sudden, you can have the mind of Christ. And we're going to talk about on Tuesday how to live that out on a daily basis and the things that come up and the residual effects of years of this old man, this person that was running the show. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. But then you think about all of these illustrations. These stories are in the Gospels to say, lift up your eyes. This stuff is here because I'm a God of abundance and I can meet your needs according to my riches and glory. What did Jesus about career change? Well, about career. He used Peter's boat to preach and then he sent him fishing. And Peter said, well, we toiled all night, Lord, but nevertheless, at thy word, we'll go out again. At that moment, Peter said, okay, I'm going to experience a miracle exchange. He didn't know it was going to be a miracle at the time, but I'm going to exchange my knowledge for what we've experienced all night for what Jesus just said. I'm going to do what he said. And then when he told, let's just look at it real quick. Go to Luke chapter 5 or touch Luke chapter 5. Either turn or touch, if you've got your smartphone, however you do your Bible. But in Luke 5, when he left speaking, this is verse 4, he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep, let down your nets for catch. Simon answering said, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, to thy word, I'll let down the net. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Well, what do you know? Jesus can do something with a man's career. And you wonder if he can help you with your career. Well. And verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were at the other ship, and they could come and help them. That's the kind of what Bob and I did years ago. And he beckoned, and we had something to give at that time that could enable a voice ministry to grow. But anyway. And they came, and they filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Oops, now they have an abundance problem. Wouldn't you like to have an abundance problem? You know, Jesus, that's just the way Jesus is. Jesus kind of has an attitude sometimes. He just does creative overkill. We can tell God is into creative overkill when you think about every grain of sand is different. Every snowflake is different. And you're thinking, God, is that really necessary? Whether it's necessary or not, God has an attitude. He just wants to show you how phenomenal he can be. And this is the God that wants to live his life through you. This is the God that says that you can have the faith of Jesus. People worrying about their faith and their lack. You only need a mustard seed of it anyway. But we're talking about Jesus's faith operating through you. And I think some of these stories get in scripture just so Jesus could say, now this is going to give the theologians fits in the seminaries in the future. See what they do with this. And you have to be a theologian to mess up some of these stories. You know, you got to find some creative way to say it wasn't like it was. Well, it was, and it is. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Well, there you have it. Jesus, he intuitively knew he needed to get in the dirt and he needed to die to himself because, man, this man knows something I don't know and I want to know what he knows, and the rest becomes history. So there's something about financial illustrations that gets people's attention, and Jesus knew that. And he was astonished and all that were with him at the catch of fishes that they'd taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth shalt thou catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So he does a financial miracle, he does a career miracle, and then all of a sudden, he has a bunch of disciples. Now, I'm going to just stop here for just a minute and just tell you a little bit of how I came into this. One of the first experiences of the whole idea of getting into the dirt, and I had been in the dirt for a couple of years, I knew that there was something in being crucified with Christ, but I just couldn't piece it all together, couldn't put it all together. So one day I had done pouring out my heart about my sinfulness at different times, but this particular day I just laid it all out, and I just every bad thing I could think of, and it wasn't hard. They were very present on my mind, and just laid it all out. And I was at I was at the end of myself, and I just sat down. And I sat down, and I looked, and there was like two aisles on both sides, two center aisles, you could say. And up the aisle on my right, it was like waves of love just came from the back of the sanctuary and just absolutely overwhelmed me. I started that day thinking of myself as a loser, thinking of myself as just the most wretched misrepresentation of Jesus, and how I'd hurt so many people. People's visions and their dreams, some you get caught up in the people that are called to be leaders in their life. And I'm just feeling so poor. Started that day so shocked at how I could let God down. Ended the day so shocked of how God could take me in my wretchedness and do what he had done through me for 20 years. It wasn't so much a shock that I had my fallenness and that I had the mistakes, that wasn't the shock to God. It should have been a shock to me that God could have used me, but I didn't understand how all of this whole idea of brokenness worked. And then there was the day where I was wondering, you know, what do I do? And I still wasn't coming. I wasn't completely understanding what I understand now. And I the Holy Spirit, who had become my best friend, spent lots of time in solitude because I knew that God was trying to get this across to me. And this was the most important thing. And I heard myself say these words: I don't know what you're going to do with me in the future, but I can be like the woman who came in when you were dining. And she knelt down at your feet, and she cried on your feet. And my hair might not be long enough to wipe up my tears. And I may not have an alabaster box of ointment, but I can love you in worship, and I can love you in adoration, and I can sit at your feet every day for the rest of my life. And I now understand that I can change the world by entering into his presence. And that, do you know that every time that you overcome any kind of temptation, you raise the spiritual level of the entire planet? Every little moment counts. Every thought, every feeling counts in eternity. I know who I want today. And I know about this word that was given earlier. I want the people, I want to minister to people up here in which life has just not worked out like you thought it would. You had your dreams. You had things you thought you were going to do. You would have never imagined that you're where you're at right now at this point in life. But here you are. Here's where you find yourself. You're in a beautiful place if you do it right. Michael, you can go ahead and come up, buddy. You're in a beautiful place for God, and you're in a ministry that believes in this message of an exchange, a miracle exchange that can take place. But it is necessary that you face the dirt, get in the dirt, and allow God to take something out of that. Now, and I'm not saying that you haven't done that to some degree. And before I ask you to come, I want to pray, because I believe that every single time I minister that somebody is here, at least, that needs to be born again. You know, years ago I was managing a nightclub, and I met a man named Zig Ziglar, and he invited me to a course, and then he invited me to come to church with him, and I went to church. I was sitting and next to him, and they gave the altar call. And when they gave that altar call, I went down to the front. I, at that point, became born again. And that is the first step. Before you can be crucified with Christ, you must be born again. If you're here today and you don't know for an absolute fact that you're going to spend eternity with Christ, you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you're not sure, would you just lift up your hand right now? I just want to pray for you. I just want to believe God for you. And if you're here and you've never experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that is something that in a few minutes when we pray, I want you to come up and I want to be able to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, those of you that are here this morning and you recognize a need for restoration, a need for allowing the vision that God has for your life to come up and take control of your life, I want you just to come down here right now. Just as an act of, Lord, I want what Michael's talking about. I want to experience it. And I want to lead you in a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Father, your word says, go ahead and say it after me. Father, your word says, I am crucified with Christ. I finally admit that I can't live the Christian life in my strength and abilities. I am now that grain of wheat that has fallen to the earth and died so that I will bear much fruit. The eye that is now surrendered to Christ is that branch that knows it's nothing without Jesus. I know this. My old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to have an opportunity to pray for the sick today. But I first want to take that person that your life is not where you thought it would be at this point. And I want you to come on down and I want to be able to pray and let you experience a supernatural miracle exchange where you're acknowledging the need to exchange what you currently have for God and what He has for you. Maybe it relates to finances more than anything, and you need a miracle exchange in your finances. Sometimes just the coming down and acknowledging your need is enormously valuable. It's demonstrating brokenness. It's demonstrating courage. It's demonstrating fearlessness. That you're not concerned what others think or say. You're just saying, I'm ready to get in the dirt. I'm ready to look at that which needs to change. 20 years as a pastor, and I had to face that in order to begin to experience the miracle exchange. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, just sing whatever God has, and we will wait and give ourselves time for you to respond. And let the Holy Spirit restore. It's more than restoration. It's doing something brand new in you that perhaps you've never experienced. I thought I understood the crucified life long before I actually did. And it was amazing. And I want to shorten that time frame up for you. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about on Tuesday night too. Supernatural experience of a miracle exchange. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, as your people are here and they're coming, would you begin to do that work even before, Lord, I touch them, even before I lay hands on them? And I'm asking you, Lord, for a supernatural impartation. I want an impartation, a restoration. However they perceive restoration, I want them to experience that and more. A multiplication. A spark of something. For the wheat seed that they are, the seed of enormous potential that each person is at this altar. For that seed of enormous potential to be broken and spilled. and come up out of the dirt a giant stalk of wheat. Oh, Father, do what only you can do. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
All of us to keep them in prayer, and as Michael's praying, this is a huge moment. I hope it brings a real sobriety over all of us. This is a huge moment for those that are here. It's massive in their journey, so really pray for them and lift them up. And as we're going to do in just a time of worship and prayer, we're going to have the ushers in the back. If there's anything that you would like to sow in to Michael's ministry and what he's doing, we do that as a family to him. And so instead of taking an offering on your way out, you can sow into the work that he's doing. So would you all stand with me right now? And would you faithfully hold your hands by faith out to these folks that are at the front? Some of them might be your family and friends. As we pray, would you allow the Lord to raise your faith at another level, to change everything in your life so that you are just absolutely surrendered to Him and His ways, in the words that you speak, in the relationships that you have, that out of your heart, your mouth would speak the love of Jesus, that all pride would be crucified. So, Lord, we come before you as you see this moment, as you see those that have had the courage to come forward. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in our lives, that all opinions and agendas would be crucified, and that we would be known as lovers, lovers of you, Lord. Lord, I ask today that you would create a heart connection in us, that we would desire your ways and your word, that we truly would not want to go the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh. So today, Lord, the most positive thing that we could do to embrace your cross, to say that I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me living, but it's Jesus having his way with me and living through me. So touch our brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, single dads and single moms, children, teenagers. Let our teenagers embrace your heart, not embrace a way to walk out. A church model. But a way to walk out a divine model of intimacy. We ask today, God, that you would ruin our mixing and mingling with the ways of the flesh, that today, that mind grooves that we get in will be crucified. And our minds would be renewed by your love. Said in John 17, Father, I desire to be with them. I desire to be with them. Your emotions, Jesus, overwhelm us. You desire to be with us. So we love you. We thank you, God. Have your way with us. Have your way with us today and tomorrow and tonight, in the morning, through the week. Rise up in us, oh God. Rise up in us. Give strength to those that are down here, that they'd be able to wait and be prayed for. even more than we are. In Jesus' name.